Day one of the trade period is done and dusted. We haven't had a trade yet, but there has been plenty of posturing. Welcome to Trading Day, and welcome David King and Ben Dixon for the first time. And John Ralph, what's the news of the day?
A day of bluff at Marvel Stadium. It all surrounded Joe Danaher, Essendon intractable. He will not be traded, but they did just leave the door open for a monster deal. And Jamie Elliott, the free agent. Collingwood and the Brisbane Lions, the two clubs that are chasing him. Collingwood 2 years, Brisbane probably three. Collingwood increasingly confident they will get their man.
So before we talk about Joe Danaher, because he is the big fish in this trade period, let's have a listen to what Adrian Dodoro had to say at Marvel Stadium today.
It's our intention to keep Joe. All-Australian, centre-half forward, best and fairest winner of our club. Coming to the peak years of his footy, we've expressed to him and his management team that we'll be doing everything possible to keep him.
Is Joe prepared to do that?
Well, it's trade period. We'll have discussions with all parties, but our intention right now is contracted. So, obviously, the answer is yes.
So, Ralphie, tell us how this deal gets done.
So, in the one sentence there from Adrian Dodoro, we are not trading Joe Danaher under any circumstances. In the next sentence, this is potentially how it might get done. Already speaking with Sydney, I think 5 and 9 is the position that Adrian Dodoro is going to keep until about Wednesday next week. I think he's going to be really hard on that one. Doesn't want a fire sale. Kingy, what do you think a fair trade is for Joe Danaher?
Well, see, 5 and 9 to me seems a little bit high. This draft's pretty strong. We're here between 5 and 30, a like type, small margins between that talent group. So I think somewhere between, say, their pick 5, and if they can organise something around pick 15, 5 and 15, something around there for me would be perfect.
I'm a 5 and 9. I'm two first rounders for sure. I wouldn't take 5 and 25. No way.
What if they could get back into the draft
at the 15 with the Gold Coast? But I just still think he's a 5 and 9 pick because we're talking about all Australian, and Adrian just touched on best and fairest winner. If he's fit, and there's the big if, he's one of the best key forwards in the game.
He's not Jesse Hogan with off-field problems. He's not a bloke who, you know, could have been the top 20 forwards in the competition. This is rare air indeed. This is a bloke who could have been, you know, one of the megastars of our game, 26 in March, who potentially has 8 great years left in him.
And I'm big on the 26-year-old. Yeah. I am big on the 26-year-old that hasn't played a lot of footy in the recent years that can get himself right in Sydney. And everyone knows, when you go to Sydney, I don't know what they do with key forwards up there, they get them right. So I'm thinking the first, like you, Ralphie, 5 and 9 is
good. Any concern that he hasn't played a lot of footy for 2 years?
Not really.
11 games in 2 years.
Well, all the medical discussions around it, he's not happy, and that air, I don't listen to that at all, because he's going to possibly go to Sydney, new medical staff, get himself in a good space. 26 years of age, King, he hasn't played a lot of footy in recent years.
And they can't have their cake and eat it. We want this bloke. He's our next superstar. But by the way, his groins are a bit dodgy. We'll have him for 5 and 15.
Exactly right, yep. Do we take into account any precedent? So Jesse Hogan last year, pick 6 and 23, effectively. And Dylan Shiel got to Essendon with 2 first-round picks, 1 2019 and 1 2020. Does that play into it at all, King?
No, I don't think so. I think that every different trade has their own set of circumstances. This is different because he hasn't played. He's on a fair wage. That's a factor in it.
So is Jesse Hogan, and he also hadn't played in the back half of last year for Melbourne. For different reasons.
Even Fremantle admitted that Jesse Hogan had personal issues there. They were by beware about him and then eventually came late. This is premier stock.
I also disagree with the Dylan Shiel ones too. You're talking about a midfielder there, and we're talking about one of the key forwards. How hard are these guys? And Sydney is stacked at the moment. We've got Buddy on 3 years to go. Mm-hmm. And you've got Nick Blakey, who pretty much predominantly played up on a wing. So he's right in the wheelhouse.
Can I float that he had one big year? So he had one big year in 2017, and we all thought, here we go, right? Outside of that, has he been the player that just commands these picks?
Occasionally.
Has he really? I mean, he had the Collingwood game last year, where he kicked 4 goals and looked amazing. He wasn't fit at any stage this year or last, to be honest. So it's hard to judge. But outside of that one big year, is he the bona fide star that we keep saying?
But I think a lot of players, and I don't want to put the big umbrella over Essendon, but a lot of players at that club haven't played at their potential. In all honesty.
Who? Give me some names. Who?
Oh, just in terms of Hurley with his footy going forward, like the guys that you think might come on and be the real elite A graders, I just don't think they've taken it on at the moment. And Joe's sort of sitting in that bracket now where he can go either way.
Is it a coaching thing? Is it a medical thing?
Like, they haven't made the final. Like, they made the finals this year, and we can go...
They've teased us, haven't they?
So you're looking at a key forward coming into a side that produced probably one of the most, you know, young, in terms of young talent, Sydney, they're on the fly. They missed the finals for a number of years. But we're talking about a key forward. I'm a big fan because I can see what he can do. And as a potential, I wouldn't take it in less than 5 or 9.
If I'm Adrian Dodoro and I've got maximum leverage here, Sydney are going to say, this bloke's a free agent next year, we snap him up for nothing. I'm Adrian Dodoro, I'm saying, I am matching the free agency bid for him next year. You are not getting this bloke for free. We've got this restricted free agency thing where people are allowed to match and not one club has ever done it. We saw, of course, with Geelong, and they made it clear that, you know, Adelaide were going to match, so they had to pay a price for Patrick Dangerfield. You do that, and all of a sudden Sydney thinks, OK, we're going to have to trade for him next year. We might just give 5 or 9 for him this year.
He's getting to Sydney. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's all leverage, though, for the maximum price.
I actually think, Essendon, it's about time they say, you know what, let's part company here.
What do we see?
This is a bad marriage at the moment. It really is. Yeah. He wants out. He's nominated a club. It'll get done. I've got no doubt it'll get done. It's just a matter of posturing at the moment, and it's going to be an ordinary week just sitting back and watching what happens. My hate this week, but it'll get done.
What are they left with? Because in the final this year, Mitch Brown and Sean McKernan had great years. They go across to Optus Stadium. They are absolutely obliterated. You know, can they try and bring in a Peter Wright or a Josh Caddy as a mid-sizer, a Dougal Howard, a Tim Membry? Because they can't just go with what they had because it wasn't anywhere near good enough.
That's the hard one, isn't it? They've got to get creative now. I mean, they're going to lose probably their most productive forwards in Fantasia and Dan Herbert. You know, I heard Adrian talking about that they've kicked 100 goals between them. They've only done that once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think sometimes we're all trying to sell high.
We've
got to be realistic.
Let's talk about your King call, because I'm intrigued with this one today, King.
It's I can't wait for
in the industry.
He doesn't like it. Oh, I just think it's too drawn out. I mean,
the trade period's too drawn out.
Yeah, we're taking 10 days to do something.
How is it too drawn out? We love it, King. This is why we're on the show tonight.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about any trades that haven't been done.
No, but we're talking, but there's developments.
What developments?
Adrian Dodoro speaking at Marvel Stadium.
We've had months to do these developments. Let's be honest, clubs have been talking about these trades for months. This just hasn't arrived today. And I think that if you give someone 2 weeks to do a school project, they'll take 2 weeks. If we give them 10 days to do this, they'll take 10 days. If we give them 5, things will start to turn. I know it creates enormous traffic and excitement, those sorts of things, but it basically makes liars out of people at clubs.
Aren't they that anyway? They lie throughout the season. We're not interested in that player. We're not speaking to that player. There's always going to be lying in AFL, and that's absolutely their right to lie.
I don't think we need to do it for 2 weeks. Let's just shorten it back.
No different to the poker. The flop's down, and who's going to put their chips in? And everyone wants to go high and knock everyone out right at the start. But if you're giving me 2 weeks to do an assignment, I'm leaving it to the last hour.
So the trade period is single-handedly saving print journalism. I've got a vested interest in that. Yeah. What about there is a way in which the big three trades have to get done in the first 5 or 6 days? Because what happens is they will last for 9 days, and then the small fry often get shafted because there isn't enough time in the 30 minutes.
Yeah.
There's enough time. I mean, they've had months.
But they use the time. So a way in which, say, you know, the three highest salaried, whether it's Papley, whether it's Danaher, they have to get done by Sunday night, and then we leave 3 days for the inventive trades to get the Wrights or the Caddies or, you know, things you might never have thought of.
One thing I will say on the back of King, I do agree with you that it was on the nose from Danaher a month, 6 weeks ago. So the planning would have been in place now to say, righto, what's going to happen? Where can we go? And obviously there's going to be some left field moves come in that might, like you were saying, in terms of the picks, 15, can we get that? 9 with Papley. But the Danaher's one, they would be planning big time Sydney to say, we're going to move our chips here to get this guy.
So what do you think of what Tom Harley did? I think it was shifty, it was underhanded, it was malicious, and it was brilliant. It's what a CEO should do.
I think it's fantastic.
Because a lot of people are saying,
catching up with him
and then saying with a straight face today, no, when we spoke in August, it was just about his needs as a person and it's just more gibberish.
Everyone's talking to everyone. There's no doubt about that.
So I've got absolutely no issue with it. It was all those things, but it's exactly what Graham Allen and Andrew Allen, all those veteran list managers would have said, good boy. Yeah, you know, we all thought that this bloke was almost too soft to be a CEO. No, I love what he's done.
Yeah. Max Lawton, foxfooty.com.au, said these are the trades were done. The first trade of the trade periods, 2018 was 10:30 Monday morning, Lincoln McCarthy. In 2017, it was Thursday, 10:15 in the morning.
Took
Thursday,
4 days.
Ralphie, to get one done. And Tuesday in 2016. So it's too long. We've got to get smarter at this. I know you've got nothing else to do for the rest of the year. I know this is selfish.
We're feeding a beast that people love. The transfer window in the English Premier League is one of the most popular times of the year in January and before and August.
We're selling hope is what we're doing. And I understand that, but this is going to drag on.
Well, they're not going to make it shorter. It's not going to be shorter. Even if we want it to be shorter, if anything, it's going to get longer because the AFL loves it.
They feed the beast. We're going to see a pre-season trade period as well.
And Kingy would love the trade period and the draft. draft to go back-to-back, wouldn't you love it, King?
Yeah, that was your
call. No, I love that. I would love to see the trade in one day and the draft the next day. That would be unbelievable.
I love it how we're also talking about picks 5 and 9 for Danaher, assuming that Sydney Swans get 9 from Carlton for Papley. Where's that at, Ralphie?
There's no doubt there was movement today. Yeah, Charlie Gardner and also Tom Harley moved away from their position of saying Tom Papley is contracted, we will never trade him, to saying we will have those mature discussions with Carlton. So right now, I think Carlton are one of the big winners of the trade period today, in that Eddie Betts is clearly getting to Carlton. We know that Jack Martin will get there at some stage. And right now, they're saying to themselves, we're also going to get Tom Papley. It's going to cost us a lot, potentially pick 9, maybe with a pick 26 back. They're saying, we're getting our 3 blokes. We've nailed this already.
It takes you 10 years to find a Papley. It really does. Yeah, an unbelievable
year.
Because someone sat there, Dicko, in that seat last week, and his name is Lee Montagna, and he said the complete opposite.
What
second rounder, he said, about
Tom
Papley.
Absolutely
no way. So what makes him so special or worth a pick 9 then?
You've got to be kidding me. We're Fox footy, aren't we?
I'm not arguing against you. I'm wanting your opinion.
I'll give you my opinion. He is one of the best small forwards in the game with the hybrid ability to play anywhere.
Yeah.
He has. And in the front half, no one clever, no one smarter, no one quicker. And as I said, they're 10 years to find a guy like that.
23 years of age.
And how consistent can you get? He
turns out 30 every year. So what happens next year? If they get Jack Martin, yes, maybe Eddie Betts. Can they win a final next year or even play finals
Carlton,
next year? Yeah.
They're playing finals next year. There is no doubt Carlton will play finals next year.
So you've gone the three-peat, Tigers.
Well, I said the three-peat to Richmond before the granny, and everyone's riding this big tiger.
So they only won 7 games this year, though. They're going to win another 6.
Okay, so what did I say about Brisbane last year? They were going to be the big mover and shaker.
Yeah, okay. A lot of narrow losses.
You've got to see the way it's building. So the way Teague coached in the last 6 to 8 weeks, building on something beautiful. That forward line, wouldn't mind coaching that.
Has been a setback with that forward line.
So Charlie Kerner has had patellar issues. Now, there are knee issues and then there are patellar issues, which are really considerable. He'll train again in January after a basketball accident. We don't know the specifics of it. We know, of course, that Christian Petracca tried to dunk a ball coming off an ACL. Where are you at, guys? Because we had the Ollie Wines discussion with water skiing over the summer. Where are you at?
Well, I'll give you some context around this. In your contract, water skiing, you can't do it. It's written in your contract. There's nothing to say you can't play basketball. So,
you are already injured? He missed the back half of the year, a lot of late games.
Yeah, because of an the great white hope, 800 grand a year, all those things have to factor in.
Not privy to his exit meeting on what he can and can't do in terms of his body, but to play a game of basketball, if he was given the all clear on, you know, probably could have come into the, I don't know, last round or two.
Yep.
I've got no problem with that.
I don't think you can put him in cotton wool for 6 months. I mean, they're competitors, these guys. They want to get out and compete with their teammates, whether it's basketball or having a kick of the footy, whatever it is. You can't stop that psyche. You can't. Yeah.
What's your rule? Don't get caught. So don't get caught. It was a rule. And don't get injured.
And then we went water skiing.
We're moving on.
We're going to talk about trades.
And Orazio Fantasia, Dicko. We'll talk about Charlie Kerno next week, the week after.
I was just talking about Carlton. Don't go off that one.
No.
That's big.
Feed the beast.
Well, let's talk about another forward. Orazio Fantasia is big because Port want him. We know that. But he hasn't requested a trade from Essendon and he doesn't have a manager at the moment. So there may not be that vehicle to actually get a deal done until he does have a manager. How does this operate on a day-to-day basis?
So literally speaking to managers today, now TLA's been mentioned, so have Robbie D'Orazio and Paul Connors. Port Adelaide couldn't have a negotiation with Essendon today. They said, let's talk. Essendon said, he hasn't even requested a trade yet. Port are absolutely certain that he will eventually do that. Essendon probably believes he's going to do it as well. But until that happens, they can't actually get that deal done. So right now, Port Adelaide knows that he's a valuable player, 10 and 29. He's probably right in the middle of that. So I think at some stage there, we'll see him moving on. It's just a bit of a logjam right now.
What do you think he's capable of at Port Adelaide?
Orazio? Oh, 40 goals a year?
Yeah,
40
right.
goals a year.
So
I mean, Charlie Dixon and Orazio Fantasia. And then you've got some of those...
Connor Rosie. Robbie
Gray. They've got some exciting times in that forward half. So he's just going to add to
that. So would you give up pick 10 for Orazio Fantasia?
I would, because I'm talking Papley is pick one of the high-class pick 9s. Yeah. Orazio falls in that.
So here's my only concern about him, in that Papley's really consistent. This bloke's got one season over 29 goals a year. Yes, he's 24 years of age, but he's had 2 ordinary finals. He's had a couple of years where he hasn't been able to carry pain. So he's not a very resilient player. He's got all the talent in the world. That'd be the only thing why you wouldn't give up 10 for him.
I just think looking at his best and how young he is, you're looking at someone who can kick you 40, 50 goals a year as a small forward.
They're buying high for me.
What?
They're buying high with Fantasia.
With 10.
He's a goal and a half a game across his career. He's coming off the back-to-back 20-goal seasons. 20 is not a massive number. Mm. I mean, if you play 15 games of AFL football in a fast-moving ball unit like the have been, you're going to get some scores. You're going to get minimum 15 if you play 20 games of footy. I think they're buying high.
Well, I just don't look at the player in isolation. Look at where he's playing and what's being supplied. You know, you're saying Danaher hasn't played there and who's been their key forward, like... You're looking at they've got stability, Port Adelaide, in their forward half.
Well, let's stick with Port Adelaide because you've got a money ball call on one of their players.
Dougal Howard.
That's exactly right.
2018, we're talking of a guy that was 3 intercept marks a game and 11 spoils. Like, he was in, what would you say, 200 centimetres and, like, I reckon had a sensational season. Yep. And when you look at last year, he was the swing man. He went back, forward, ruck. But
my understanding is he wants to play in defence, which suits North Melbourne.
He only wants defence, and North Melbourne's the perfect fit for me. And Thompson goes out, Tarrant's getting a little bit long in the tooth, but still got some good footy. But up forward, don't know what's happening with Mackay and the like, but I just think he fits in beautifully with North Melbourne.
Reshaw, really keen today on him. St Kilda and Simon Lethlin said we're interested in him too, but you think he's probably playing forward for those guys. At Essendon, maybe you play him back and then you throw Carl Hooker forward, so there's options. Yeah, you're right, I'm playing for the side that says we want to just slot you in as a key position defender for the next 7 or 8 years.
Exactly what Collingwood did with Jordan Roughead. You're going to bang, just play down there.
What's he cost, Ralphie?
He wasn't in their side for the last 3 weeks, and yet he captained the club when Jonas and Ollie Wines were out. So what did Dwayne Russell say?
Pick eight. I said pick eight. I think pick 27 is perfect for him.
Okay.
We've got a guy who's played 45 games of football.
And he's got Collingwood might be interested as well. So he's got 4 clubs bidding for him. Mm. So he's probably worth in that mid-20s, just for not for output, just for absolute talent.
Do you know what I love about a guy that comes in, and I call it Moneyball, but he comes in and says, this is where I want to play. Like, he's dictating to the club, you get me, this is where I'm going. And Reshaw, obviously, very keen on him because...
I think it'll get done.
They scream a defender.
Yeah. So if Fantasia moves and Danaher moves from the Bombers, what salary cap space does that leave them to have a real crack at Jeremy Cameron next year?
So
or earlier.
Yeah, so Danaher on something like $700,000-$800,000. He didn't cap out. He could have got $1 million and he didn't. Fantasia, front-ended deal, but it's probably around $650,000 average. So you're already looking at 1.3. Dougal Howard's probably, you've clearly got an extra $800,000 of cap space.
That's a fair bit of money. We're going to take a break and be back in a few moments' time. We're going to talk about Jack Stephen, Tim Kelly, and even a little bit of Jamie Elliott as well. Stay with us on Trading Day. Welcome back to Trading Day. We were just talking about Joe Danaher, who is out of contract at the end of next year, but Tim Kelly is out of contract at the end of this year. This is a massive deal, guys. I can't wait to delve into it with you. But before that, this was Stephen Wells, the Geelong list manager, talking today.
Is there anything you can use as a benchmark, Stephen? Or is it? Can we assume you want 2 first-round picks for Tim? Is that fair asking price?
Tim's worth more than that.
All the best.
Thanks, Stephen. Thank you.
All the best, Ralphie.
Well, instead of knocking that on the head, Craig Vozzo, the West Coast football boss, said, yeah, that's about right. He didn't say, well, let's have a bag of chips and argue from there. So here's the precedent. Chris Judd. Pick 5, which is Josh Kennedy. They gave that in Carlton. And then pick 3, of course, which became Chris Maston. Pick 20, which became Tony Noddy, who never really made anything of himself. So that's probably the biggest trade since then. Been a lot of free agents, been a lot of stars move clubs, but a lot of them for 2 first rounders and a second rounder back. This bloke's 26, second in the MVP, 24 Brownlow votes. But Juddy had only played 6 years, was a premiership captain, was only 24. He's not quite Juddy status, is he?
Well, he's not. I think his ability to go forward, he showed this year, adds another level to his game. Like we saw last year, we couldn't get the trade done last year, but this year his chips...
A little bit more bargaining power as well this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. And just to translate Wells and have a bit of fun, more than that, he's expecting 2 first-rounders and Matt Nui the other way.
Well, I think when you look at what their midfield becomes... The West Coast just have to get this done, really. They're going to have 4 guys in the middle you need to tag. You're going to have Gaff, Shuey, Yeo and Kelly running. I mean, it's an awesome midfield. and puts real threat to your Richmond three-peat almost instantly. But what will West Coast offer, do you think? What's a logical outcome?
So they've got 14, they've got 24, they've got 32, and then they've got a future first-rounder. So we asked about future first-rounders. Again, Craig Vozzo, yeah, we'll think about it. I think the fact that they've got guys like Petrucelli, Oscar Brand, Jared Brand or Oscar Allen, you know, they've got so many of these young kids coming through. Liam Ryan's still a young player. I think the fact that these are just picks they can give away, if they didn't have, if they had Josh Kennedy there and no one behind him, I think they're so comfortable just to say, not whatever it takes, because then Geelong, you know, takes the mickey out of them. If they had to give up 14, 24 and a future first rounder, they go, oh, well, it's two first rounders and a mid-second. But we'll get something back. I think they'd do it.
A lot of people are saying, Kingy, that Geelong would be foolish to trade with West Coast. I think people inside Geelong are saying that as well, given they're a premiership rival. And Freo might have...
What choice do they have?
Picks 6, 7 and 26, which is a better deal for the Cats.
But the player has chosen the club, hasn't he?
Well, no, the player nominates the club. The club chooses where the player goes.
I think in this day and age, you can't absolutely trade a player against his will. You can't say to whoever it is, Jack Stephen, you want to go to Geelong, we're sending you to the Western Bulldogs. It's nearly the same. You know, 40 minutes down the road. I just don't think you can forcibly trade someone against their will. The AFLPA would have a field day.
But Tim Kelly wants to be in Perth for family reasons. There's two clubs in Perth.
And that's why his manager, as he did last year, is probably going to have to come out and say it at some stage, we are not going to the Fremantle Football Club.
What was the conversation last year, Ralphie, when there was this same situation months ago? What was the conversation between Geelong and Kelly? Was it... Look, play 2019 for us and we'll work it out. Was there an amicable arrangement that they would get him to the club of his choice at
that
stage?
There was, yeah, there was. And I think what the regret is now... Yeah, the regret is now is that they weren't forceful enough. They sort of said, well, we'd like you to get to West Coast. And look, to Geelong's credit, they relented on a deal. It was 2023 and an exchange of second and third rounders. Everyone says they kept to their will, they refused to trade him. When Chris Scott went to bed in Harvard, he thought this bloke is going to be a West Coast player. And for some reason, West Coast just didn't get that deal.
So do you think this will get done?
I think it'll get done. Not in a heartbeat, but I think there's a heap of goodwill. Again, it's the first day of nine. It's a certainty to get done
for West
Coast.
I don't think they're budging on what they want either. Yeah. So if it gets done, then Geelong have had a huge win.
Two first rounders. So this year and next year's first round.
Yep.
And pick 24.
Yeah, yep. or that, yeah, 14, the first round, and maybe they turn 24 and 34 into an early one.
Yeah.
I think at some stage there you've got to get a top 10 pick, because then you've got to get somewhere near that 6 and 7 of Fremantle.
That's what you'd like to do on draft index points. Jack Stephen's a really interesting case. Four-time best and fairest winner. Saints want pick 36. I think Geelong's only willing to give up pick 56. What's about right, Kingy?
Oh, 36 is about right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's four-time best and fairest winner. He's serious talent. He needs some work. He knows that. He's got a lot going on. But this is it's a buyer's market in this one, isn't it? I mean, they'll just offer what they are comfortable to part company with. Maybe they've got to find a pick low 40s.
Yeah.
Well,
he's an extraordinary talent. Simon Lethlin was telling Porkies today. He'll be in our club in round one next year if we don't get a great pick from this club. Remember when he kicked those three goals against Fremantle? By his own admission, he was fat as a house. You know, he's not ready to be... He won't be at that club in any state of form, will he, next year?
He's an interesting...
So they'll find it. They'll find a mid-range pick and they'll get it done.
Yeah, and I think what he's obviously suffered this year and had some time away from the game, he's in a better space, obviously closer to family. So I think the deal might get done.
Yep.
But
there's issues beyond footy, aren't there? Yep.
Yeah, and then when you get in that environment, King, sorry to cut you off, your headspace is better and then you can train. A fully fit Jack Stephen, make no mistake, he fits beautifully into that Geelong. Yep. And he's an animal on the trail. I've seen it live.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of footy still left in him.
It is hard to tell players that, you know, we're all about making you a better person when you leave the club and it's all about family first and all these sorts of things. They preach that, you know, day one that they walk in and then not do trades like this.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways.
Yep. Simon Lethlean spoke about Josh Bruce today at Marvel Stadium.
Right here, right now, I don't feel like pick 32 is appropriate for, you know, our biggest key forward who's got a year to go on his contract. I don't know, you tell me, if they want to offer a four-year deal on big money, I don't think it's, you know, that's the right sort of pick, but, you know, time will tell.
I think Bruce will still end up at the Bulldogs, but it might take a bit of play over the next few days to get that deal done. Your scoop of the day, Ralphie.
I think that Ben King is about $1.10 to be at St Kilda by 2021. From reading between the lines, Simon Lethlean talking all about how, look, we don't want to get rid of Josh Bruce, but you thought to yourself, what happens at the end of next year? And I think they've got, of course, his brother there. They speak regularly to the parents. And I think they release Josh Bruce, knowing they need a stopgap option for 2020. But then, of course, Max and Ben, the new Nick Riewoldt and Justin Kaczynski, I think you put your house on that one.
I think the two King boys, if they got there, like Max King, we saw at Sandringham this year, tearing games apart. So you're going to be a player, and Ben obviously established himself up the Gold Coast. Josh Bruce is the interesting one because the Bulldogs have offered him plenty. Because when you look
four years, big.
Mm-hmm. Top five contested marks in the league. He didn't play. He played four games last year. So he had a full season this year, and we saw what he can do. So it fits beautifully to the Bulldogs. But if they get the both Kings to the Saints, then look out.
Mm. They probably just need a pick slightly higher to do that deal, the Bulldogs and Saints, don't they? 32 might be a bit low, but, I mean, the Saints got Hannanbury in for a second-round pick last year with 3 years to go on his contract.
If they're going to sign him to a four-year deal on big money, 32 is too low.
Exactly right. The chips are here. How high are they? And
well, it's a bit like the Saints as well, with $800,000 for Dan Hannanbury in a five-year contract. But we can go back to precedents all over the place. What's the first deal we're going to see tomorrow, Ralphie?
John Patton.
John Patton. So last week. We'll see you tomorrow night. Well done, gentlemen. We'll see you as well on trading day.
This has been a Fox Sports production.